Let us turn to this passage together here in Proverbs, and the chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And in verse 30, the verse that we want to look at today. And here, in a sense, we have a summary of all earthly and worldly wisdom that leaves God out and depends upon their own cunningness and their own pride. What a verse it is. Verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Now, we're all aware today that there's a great deal of opposition against God and His truth in this world. We are reminded, of course, daily, even in our own lives, in our own experience, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We know that all of hell is set against God and His people, and against the individual Christian, the child of God. And wicked men in high places are the very instruments, very often, of the devil. Men that should be an example, men that should lead and guide. But these are the very ones that seem to be the channels, the instruments of the enemy. But in the midst of all of that, we have this great consolation. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. And the wise man here, Solomon, is not saying that there is no such thing as any evil against the Lord, or any wisdom that is set against God, but he's reminding us that it shall not prosper. It'll not prosper. But God will overrule. Now this is the consolation of every child of God. All the wisdom and the cunning of men, it is all in vain. We could say it is all overmatched and outdone by God. All the schemes, all the cunning plans of men that are used of the devil. It's going to be all outmatched, and it will come to nothing. And of course the result is sure. It's not like an election sometimes. But you know, when elections take place, we often hear, well, we have to wait. What is going to be the result in this seat or constituency? And we're not sure of the outcome. And it can go on for hours, on into the next day perhaps, or maybe even a couple of days, until they get the result. Who has won the seat? What is the outcome? Is it defeat for this one or victory for the other? But praise God, the result is sure when it comes to the wisdom of men and the wisdom of the Lord. We know who's going to win. We know who's going to have the upper hand. We know who's going to triumph at the end. And that one is the Lord. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord that is going to triumph or is going to win. I love that psalm, the psalm 2 that we're all familiar with. He that sits in the heavens laughs. That's the picture given to us of the Lord. He that sits in the heavens, the one who occupies the throne, shall laugh at them. He shall have them in derision, in mockery, for all their efforts that they have set against him. Now we think of the scoffer, and there's many of them. The evolutionist as well thinks he has the answers of life, and the scientist. All is in vain, and it is vain to oppose God. The Lord, brethren, will not be defeated. And there's a lesson there that comes to you and me today and every Christian to every child of God and to the church of Christ. And it's a simple one. It is good to be on the Lord's side. It is good to be on the Lord's side. And thank God the Lord is on our side. He is on the side of his people. And there's another great lesson that comes to us from this text of Scripture. That we are to look to God's throne for stability and security. There's no stability or security in this world of ours at all. Even in our own land. There's chaos at times. It's just like people working their way through a dark maze. But again, we are exhorted for to look up and to look to the throne of God in the heavens. There we have stability. There we have a sure rule. And there we have security. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. It's all going to fail. And it will come to nothing. Now we want to think, first of all, when we think of the highest in society and the best laid plans. The highest, we're not thinking now about the lowest. The highest plans. The best laid plans. And of course, these are, we might say, on the highest rung of the ladder. Not thinking about the lower rung of the ladder. We're thinking of those on the very highest rung of the ladder. They may mock, and many of them do, and scoff, and dismiss God and his word and the gospel and his commandments. And there's a great verse there in the Psalms. It is the Psalm 33 in the verse 10. If we just turn to it in our Bibles and mark it. Let the young people mark it also in their Bibles. It's a great verse. Psalm 33 in the verse 10 and 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the heathen, the devices. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. We're thinking, of course, the highest rung, up at the very top. The wise, so-called wise men. And Corinthians, Paul writes to the Corinthians, has much to say about the wisdom of this world. And, in 1 Corinthians there, about the wise men of the world. So-called wise. We're not thinking about the ignorant, the poor ignorant man. Or some poor idiot that has a few pints and he's blathering and talking away about this, that and the other. We're not talking about the idiot or the fool. No, those that profess to be something and to know something. And their wisdom, of course, is at the very highest, as it were. Their cleverness, their devices. And again there in 1 Corinthians, as we mentioned in chapter 3 in the verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their craftiness. So as I say, it's not the poor individual in standing in the pub or on the street corner, and he's blathering and talking about this policy and the other policy and what life is about and the way we should live. No, we're not talking about that man at all. No, we're thinking about the educated, the crafty, the people that perhaps think themselves to be something, to be someone, will have all the answers. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. We have many examples of that in Scripture. The very top notch, as it were. We look at a man like Ahithophel, his counsel. Look there, for example, in 2 Samuel. And in the chapter 16, 2 Samuel chapter 16 and the verse 23. And Ahithophel, this man gave counsel to David and to Absalom. and was regarded a wise man, as if he were in touch with God. A man in touch. He professed to be in touch with the Lord. And there in 2 Samuel, in the chapter 16, and the verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. He was their personal counselor, their advisor. And it's as if he had the ear of God to direct them, to show them the course to take. But of course his counsel was evil, and it came to nothing. Look at verses 21 and the verse 22. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go into thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So he's back in Absalom. David is on the run at this time. He's under judgment. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And if we turn to chapter 17 and the verse 7. 17 and the verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. Not good. Yes, seemed to be a very wise man. But yet, the amazing thing is this, that we have to keep in mind. Yet the judgment that God had pronounced here upon David for his adultery and his departure from God, the judgment here that was pronounced upon him has been fulfilled. Nathan pronounced a judgment upon David. He says, thou art the man. There's consequences for his sin. And of course, Ahithophel, in a sense, is just the instrument. He's not justified in his wrongdoing. He wasn't justified in his sin, in his counsel, but yet judgment has been fulfilled, announced by Nathan. So you see that, brethren, even the bad actions of evil men are working out the plan of God. Working out the plan of God in ways that we cannot fully comprehend or fully understand at all. Even look at the worst of men and see the things that they're doing. No, they're not going to be, as we would say, they're not going to be let off the hook. They're accountable for their sin, and they're accountable for their actions, and judgment will come. But yet, in some peculiar way, in a deep way, an extraordinary way, even God has taken such men. He's taken such men and their actions, and he's working out his own counsel and his own plan and his own will. And so it was here with Ahithophel. So when you look out upon the world, providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the rule of God is there. So that men at their very best and their very worst, in some mysterious way that we cannot always get to the bottom of. We can't always just see it at the time. This man Ahithophel, as if he was in touch with God, his counsel, as if he had the ear of God. But as I say, in this most peculiar way, he is just fulfilling, carrying out here the prophecy, the announcement, the judgment of Nathan the prophet upon David. And yet he is accountable. You see how God, the Almighty, the judge of all the earth, is in control of all things. So that there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. And this man here,
Ahithophel, as we have seen here, he gives counsel, but it is to sin.
For fornication, adultery, and everything else. And he'll have to answer for that. Then we have another example of, as well. There in the example of Pharaoh.
If we turn for a moment. And Pharaoh thought himself to be very wise, the great ruler of his day. And in Exodus chapter 1, in the verse 12, reading here concerning the Egyptians, but the more they afflicted them, that is Israel, the more they multiplied and grew and were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. The more they afflicted, the more they grew, and they prospered.
And of course, his murderous decree, as we read there into chapter 2 concerning Moses, because all the firstborn male, they were to be taken, all the males were to be taken and destroyed. But even then, this brought about a man who would destroy him, and that man was Moses. And there's a man in his wisdom, wants to get rid of all the males. He wants to bring Israel under his subjection. And he gives out this decree. What way does it work out at the end? Does Pharaoh's plan come to pass? Does he have the upper hand? Does he have his way? Is his scheme going to stand against God? No, from this comes a man. A child is born, Moses. And he is miraculously preserved, even by the very household of Pharaoh. And in after years, he comes, and he's the man to confront Pharaoh. Confront the enemies of God. And to lead the people of Israel out. Moses is preserved. Here was a link, wasn't it, in the chain of providence. Is this just, you might say, that's all just fate, you know, it's just the way anything... No. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as we've often noted before, as the world talks about, and we used to talk about having good luck or bad luck. Not for one moment. And there's no wisdom then, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The smallest detail, God taking up ungodly rulers, ungodly men, they're not justified for one minute by their actions, but God can even take their actions and their plans and their devices in their so-called cleverness, and it's all working. It's all coming together. And God is working out his purposes and his plans. The devil often, continually, we could say, trips himself up. What's the lesson here for you and me today? Again? Oh, brethren, how safe and wise it is to commit our whole life to God. Yes. And all our ways to him. Every day. We're not just talking about every year. Every day, dear Christian young people, commit every day into the safe keeping and guide of God, the guidance of the Lord, and ask him for guidance. Ask him to help and to direct. And if you're not saved today in the meeting, if you're not saved, oh look, our vision of God is so small. Our vision of the Lord is so stinted. We're so limited. And oh, if you're not converted today, commit your soul, the safe keeping of your soul to God, the salvation of your soul to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. How safe, how good it is to be in the hand of God in a dark, reckless age in which we live. And there's confusion on every hand. But remember, there's no confusion with the throne of God.
No confusion with him.
Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. But the wisdom of men, and the wisdom of the world, the cleverness and so on, the highest, it will perish. We read it there in that passage. It will be mocked. It will come to nothing. God is going to bring them into derision. Oh, how safe, how good it is to commit your very soul for salvation to the Lord. Have you done so?
Have you done so? Asking him to guide in the future days. Every step of the way. Who can oppose the counsel of the Almighty God and prosper? Who can oppose him and prosper? They can't prosper. Who rule and guide in a wrong way.
There's a great fall before them. There's a judgment coming.
That person determined to have their own way will reap their own consequences.
But how blessed it is to be in the hand of God. Such a God as we have. And there's many more in Scripture as well. Think of Balak. You remember that man's desire for to curse Israel?
And he hired Balaam. He looked down upon them. He wanted them cursed. He wanted them destroyed.
And of course, there's been many since that wanted the destruction of Israel and the land of Israel and the Jewish people.
And he said to Balaam, behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times.
Three times. And Balaam is hired. And mind you, his heart wasn't good either. Balaam's heart wasn't good. He was killed after in war and he was destroyed. And he's out for hire.
How he started off, some would say he started off a very good man, I don't know.
But I know this,
that he aligned himself with an evil man, an evil cause.
The whole thing. He's determined to curse. He wants the money. He wants the ransom. But every time he opened his mouth, he couldn't do anything else but bless the people of Israel.
And so Balak complained these three times. You've altogether blessed them these three times.
Numbers chapter 24 and the verse 10.
Ah, to all the wise of the world, the Lord says, in the words of Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 10, take counsel together. Now, isn't that something? Take counsel together. The coming together of governments and of heads and of wise men. Take counsel together. Numbers is a great thing today, isn't it? Numbers. Coming together, great numbers, bringing all their great minds and their wisdom and counsel together.
They're going to make a policy in this and a policy on the other and what to do and what not to do. But God is left out. God is going to be left out of everything.
His word is not going to be consulted. The Ten Commandments won't be brought into it.
The gospel will be mocked.
It will not be even mentioned.
At all.
Take counsel together, Isaiah says in chapter 8 and the verse 10. And it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us.
God is with us. We need to keep that in mind, don't we? God is with us. He's with his people. Now there's the whole council of the world today. And governments. You have it in Europe. And you have it everywhere else.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe it's a little bit simplistic on my part. Maybe it's a simple way of looking at it. I could be wrong. But there you have the whole Brexit thing today. And all the every time it's all on the news continually. Updates on Brexit. Wouldn't it be great if I had a leader...
Wouldn't it be great if we had a leader
who would say to all of Europe and the European government, European Union,
the words of Daniel,
Daniel 4,
the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will.
Yes.
That's it.
The Most High will trust God. Keep your little deals and your treaties and your whatever. Keep the whole thing. Bye bye. We'll trust God. We won't be taken as a ransom. We'll not lie in the dirt. We'll trust the God of heaven. The Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against God that is going to prosper. That's going to get anywhere. It's going to fall to the ground. It's going to fall to the ground.
We look at the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, look at that.
Look at that man Herod. There we read of in Matthew
chapter 2. Look at that man Herod.
He is determined. He wants to reign as king alone. And when he hears of the birth of the Saviour, he's filled with fear.
And he fears for his position. Fears for his position. And in Matthew chapter 2 and in the verse 18, he was mocked by the wise men.
He was mocked by the wise men. That's what happened to him.
And all the prophecies were fulfilled. All the prophecies were fulfilled. He couldn't,
all his plans and schemes, he could not lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
And so the Savior, he died upon the cross.
He died an atoning death. He rose again from the dead.
Don't we sing it in that, in vain they watched his tomb. They set a guard upon his tomb.
But he rose from the dead, and he rose for our justification and for our salvation. All the plans that were set against him there as the young infant to destroy him by Herod and many around him as well. And many times throughout the New Testament did they plan for to take him and destroy him. Ah, but the work of God must be fulfilled.
And the cross is before him. His atoning death and the shedding of his precious blood and his rising again.
You see, it reminds us very simply, of course, that God is the one who grants real wisdom. God is the one who grants. Are we looking for wisdom? We all need wisdom, don't we? We want wisdom. And as we know in the Word of God, there's two schools of wisdom. Two schools. The school of man and the school of God. The school of the Lord. And he makes us simple wise. Many a dear Christian today, and we count ourselves among them, they have no letters. They have no great learning. But they are wise. They're wise. Wise unto salvation. They're wise in the things of God. They're wise in the counsel of the Lord. Wise. Oh, here's a Christian's blessing and comfort today. There's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
Yes.
That's going to stand against him. And as I say, you take a man like Ahithophel, and there's many others as well. And they're just, in a sense, they're channels or instruments. And they don't even know it. They don't even know it. That in a most peculiar way, they're actually working out the purposes and the plans of God. That's amazing, isn't it? That's our God. That's our God.
And you see, people have a notion, if they believe in God at all, that God is the Lord, you know, he's at his wit's end. We are at our wit's end at times, aren't we?
sometime with decisions what to do and you're not sure. And what an awful thought, what an awful view of God. God at his wit's end? No. Is he all wise, all knowing, all glorious God? That's who he is. And if you're saved today in the meeting, he is your God. Your God. To guide you and to give you counsel. And to lead you. And to impart to you that wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. That's what it is. Because we know the wise man discounts and he dismisses God. He thinks he knows better. And he knows more. And he's wiser. But he's a fool. He's a fool. And it doesn't matter who he is or where he comes from or what position he has. If he discounts and dismisses God, that man is a fool. A fool. But the wisdom is from above makes a man wise. Wise unto salvation. Dear Christian, this is our God today. This is our God. This does not mean fatalism. Oh, I don't need to pray and I don't need to work and I don't need to do this or the other. Oh no, this is all part of the plan of God. Young person today, do you know God? Are you in his hand? Are you safe in his hand? For the present, your soul, for eternity. Think well upon it, for eternity. And for this life, for your days, whether they be few or many. Oh, how good it is that your times are in his hand. Amen. My times are in thy hand. That's where our peace comes in, as we'll be thinking of tonight. That's where our peace and our contentment comes in. It's in God, the all-wise God. For the Lord, dear soul, dear men and women today, God is not stuck. He's not at his wit's end. He rules over all in the kingdoms of man. There's no counsel against him. Don't care where it comes from. It's going to stand against God.